and welcome to episode 261 of the Mandarin Orange Show. I'm Phil Vecchio.
And I'm Jardel Vecchio.
And we are the Mandarians.
Orange.
So thank you for joining us, everyone.
Welcome. Man, we've had some things.
It's been a busy time, hasn't it?
Yes.
It always is now. We've got teenagers. We've got shows. We've got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But we've got our hosting a little more figured out now, so hopefully everything is coming through.
Back on a routine.
And we are back to doing a show, and we're going to jump right into it. Let's start out with the news.
And now the news.
All right, so right off the bat, I just want to mention once again, the hosting situation was, you know, semi-resolved. If you are following us on Patreon, Mandarin Orange Show on Patreon, I believe it's patreon.com/Mandarin Orange Show, we'll post them there first. So if you want to listen to an episode, we post them there first, and all you have to do is follow us for free there.
It's a free perk.
And you get to listen to it there first. Sometimes I might post it there, and then it'll go up like an hour later. Or maybe I'll do it a couple days, like I did in the last episode. Mm-hmm. You never know. But I will be posting them on Patreon first. And then we'll go from there. So it's worth following
incentive.
Us. And it's free. Head on over to Patreon. That's our challenge for the week. We're going to be just making that an ongoing challenge for a little while here. We've gotten some more people to follow us, which is great. And again, it's free to follow. I mean, of course, there are paid tiers that you're welcome to join. I'm not going to like stop anyone. But our challenge is go over there. The only thing you have to do is just make an account, you know, make a login name. It's quick and easy.
Yeah.
And then just join and follow Mandarin Orange Show.
That's it. It's that simple.
Where can people get a hold of us if they want to ask more questions about it? Let's say they're not so sure about how to sign up for it, you know?
Well, they can message us on Facebook, Messenger.
Yeah.
They can write to us at mandarinorangeshow@gmail.com.
Excellent.
They can Instagram message us. They can do those things.
Those are good things. You definitely check out our Facebook page and group. You know, there's a lot of good action happening there. That's the business stuff that we're going to do. Get that out of the way. Make sure that you also are following along on Potvox Music, because we're going to be starting up a new Potvox Presents. November 9th is our next one with Abby Hubbard. Very excited for that one.
Mm-hmm.
We actually will talk about Abby Hubbard in an upcoming Mandarin Orange Show episode, because we stopped by her house on our summer vacation.
Yeah.
But we're not quite to that correct state yet, so we'll get there when we do. What else we got here, Janelle? We've had a lot of stuff going on recently. We had a big milestone in our family.
Yeah.
What happened?
Audrey's 16.
Audrey turned 16. She had her savory 16.
Yes.
Her choice. She decided she didn't want to be sweet 16.
No way.
That's what everyone else does. So yeah. She was savory 16.
Yeah.
When asked what that means, she's like, I don't know. I just thought it sounded better. So.
It's just funny.
It is. She's funny.
She's a funny girl.
Yeah.
In a good way.
We had a lot of fun celebrating her. Again, like Luke, she had school on her actual birthday, but we celebrated the weekend before, you know, for the most part. Family came down and played games. And her big surprise is we took her to a professional improv show.
And they invited her on stage to be in a sketch. They didn't do that with anybody else.
No, they didn't get any other volunteers. We kind of, like, we didn't ask for them to do it, but as we were coming in, we talked to everyone who worked
said
there.
She's on her high school improv team.
It's her 16th birthday. She's in the leadership for the improv group. And so, you know, I was hoping maybe they'd at least call on her to do something from the audience, but they actually pulled her up to do a sketch with them on
stage. She was in like a full sketch with them.
It was
and
so
she
good.
Did so good. She did great. Was so funny.
They told her she should audition afterwards. Yeah. I mean, like, I think she has to be a little older, but still.
So, it was so great. It was really fun.
And I want to give them a shout out. It was Improv City in Tustin, California, Orange County out there.
Yeah.
And they're great. We really enjoyed it. The earlier shows, we went to the 7:30 show, are like family friendly. You know, they call it PG-13 or family friendly. It was pretty, you know, I think it was pretty PG, really.
Yeah.
But they're probably covering themselves in case with a PG-13, you know.
Right.
But super nice. Like, in addition to being just really funny, like, everyone was super friendly. The owner came out and talked with us, and just all the people we interacted with. It was a great experience.
Yeah, it was.
So you want a good improv experience. They do other types of performances as well at their theater.
Mm-hmm.
Improv City in Tustin, California. Support live theater.
Yes.
What else? Anything else that we need to talk about? I feel like there was another big event that just happened, Janelle.
Well, I did win an award.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
It's embarrassing.
Oh, stop.
I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, stop. You weren't embarrassed when you went up on stage and accepted it and gave a speech.
That's true. Yeah, I won an award. If you guys remember last year, I went to the Culver Newland Expo out at the Disneyland Hotel. Well, I got invited back this year as a guest of honor because I won the Sharper, or no, I'm sorry. I got the Sharp Idea Award.
Yes,
from Culver Newland.
Innovative teaching for your room escapes and all that kind of stuff.
They hired a cartoon artist to make a professional cartoon of me. We hung it on the wall.
Caricature poster.
And but it's me in an escape room.
It's so good. I think you should take a picture of it.
Yeah.
And make that
the show.
The episode, if you can do that.
Yes.
You already have a picture of it on your phone, I'm sure.
I have a picture of me with it.
That's good.
On the phone.
That's fun.
So, yeah.
You should do that because it's really good. It was so fun. I got to go because you were
the recipient. Yeah, they told me to bring my family, and the kids were at school, so you came.
I got to come, and it really good food.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was a lot of fun. It's all
catered by Disneyland.
Yeah. We even got, like Mickey ice cream bars. Mickey ice
creams, Disneyland popcorn in Disneyland popcorn, like, containers.
Yeah, it was pretty great. And it was fun. We had hung out with some of your coworkers.
Yes.
We also got to see the co-host of Alex B. Keaton is my friend. My friend, so Keith. Exciting. He is there. And
okay. So last year, remember I said Keith's like a big wig, oh, yeah. Right? Like, didn't you get that vibe?
Oh, everyone's like, oh, you know Keith? You know Keith? Oh, yeah.
Oh, who's your rep? Keith?
Oh, Keith, yeah.
Oh, Keith's great.
Well, and it's fun because it was like kind of a costume. They do a theme, and so they said it was like a Hollywood theme, and you're supposed to dress like, you know, your favorite movie character. And so Keith and his team all dressed as Barbie, like from the movie Barbie. And Keith was Ken's friend
Alan.
And he was great. He had like the full costume. It was really so funny.
So, and then what did we go as?
We were Clark and Ellen Griswold, specifically from European Vacation. And even more specifically from the scene when they go to the Eiffel Tower. I had a jacket with, and then a t-shirt of Wally World.
Our berets said Ellen and Clark. And
we had matching berets that said Ellen Clark. It looks, I mean, it's not.
And we had a Paris tour book.
And we had a Paris tour book to complete it. And many people
recognized it. They loved it.
It was pretty great.
And let's just say we did get these outfits originally to wear in Paris when we were going to go in 2020. So Audrey has her beret and
Audrey
that says
one,
Audrey.
Right, because it's already
and
one.
And then Luke, we got him too. One with his real name because Audrey got one with her name
on
it.
Yeah, and he was little, so he, you know. Yeah,
and one with Rusty.
Russ, here, Dad. Oh. There you are, son.
So we do plan on doing a redo of that trip and wearing our berets.
Yeah, when we go on the Eiffel Tower.
In front of the Eiffel Tower.
Not just in front. I'm wearing them up on.
But we're not going to throw our berets off.
No.
And a dog's not going to jump out of the lady's arm and catch it.
Such an interesting thing that, like, because European Vacation was our in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Although it has been weirdly reclassified as PG-13 in certain home releases.
Yeah.
And the history of how that came to be is really murky. Because some of them say PG-13, some say R, and it's really hard to figure out, like, what if they changed anything. And doing research online, I've come up with very little information about, like, why there's different versions. But even though it was rated R in the theater, that part, I guess this is a mild spoiler for a movie from the 80s that you've probably already seen. And Janelle sort of spoiled it already. When they throw the hat, he throws the hat off the beret, off the Eiffel Tower. The dog jumps out of her arm and, like, falls, plummets out of the Eiffel Tower. And in an R-rated movie, they couldn't show the dog get killed, so it, like, lands in the River Seine.
Mm-hmm.
because no one would like tolerate. You could do all kinds of other horrific things. Then. But even back then, they wouldn't kill the dog. Because then it would be just too horrible. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying like I want to see dogs get smushed or something, but like it's just weird to me that that's like this unwritten rule in Hollywood. Like if the dog dies, like that's shocking. Then it's like the whole point of the movie, like Old Yeller or something. So do you
think it was rated R because of the dog?
I'm saying I wonder if in earlier cuts it doesn't show the dog swimming safely. Mm. But I can't find that out for sure. And there's not a lot of info.
Interesting.
But because I don't remember the dog swimming away in earlier versions, but it could just be I don't remember.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, I mean, the first one, again, spoiler alert from the first one, which was like, what, 1980?
Yeah.
Or right around there. There's a part when Clark forgets that he tied the dog to the back bumper and the dog dies. It doesn't show it, but it's, you know, this whole scene and like, they're like, oh gosh, it's horrible, you know. So, I don't know. Feel like maybe they added that. If anyone has any info, can help me out here.
Let us know.
I've always been curious about that. And also just the whole rule of that. I mean, like, no matter what it is, the dog's going to survive at the end.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, that's my rant about dogs and European vacation. We had a lot of fun. You got a great award. You were honored. You spoke. And everyone in the whole entire place cried.
Well, so did I.
Well, you cried and made everyone else cry. And it was great. I think you were amazing.
Thank you. It was fun. What about Audrey did like a haunted house for her school and we went to see it. It's typical like haunted house. Not really our thing.
Well, to clarify, when you say she did it, Audrey was asked by one of the teachers at their school. They do this big school-wide mm-hmm. thing and it's like a walk-through haunted house attraction. And he asked her to help design one of the rooms.
Right.
And she designed one of the rooms with a special effect, a Pepper's Ghost special effect, which if you're not familiar with that, it's like in Haunted Mansion at Disneyland where you look through the window and you see the ghost flying and it looks like they're there floating in front of you. It's a special effect. You can look it up. It's really cool how it's done. And so she recreated that and actually in this like high school haunted house had a Pepper's Ghost effect with like a head floating and there was like a, you know, person with like a jacket over their head so that it looked like the head was missing and it was like a ghost floating behind it.
It was so cool.
So good. It was amazing that she pulled this off. The rest of the haunted house was not our cup of tea. It's like
that. But it was just as good as one you'd go to at like Six Flags or
Not Scary Farm or those kinds of things. You know, it's just usually rely on gross thing. Out stuff. And that's just not for me. But it was really cool seeing Audrey's.
Yeah.
So that was pretty great.
And she hates haunted houses. So she
didn't even go to the rest of it.
She didn't even go to the rest of it, even though, like, her friends did. She just
wanted to get to do a special effect and have someone else, like, you know, help her.
Like, and she liked having everybody, like, hear everybody go ooh and ah over it as they came in. So
that's pretty cool.
So that's something she did, too.
And speaking of the spooky season, we went to the, what do they call it, Fall Festival at Luke's school.
Yeah.
Which is just a fun thing they do, and, you know, they have trunk or treat and all that kind of stuff. And we realized as we were there, like, this is the last one. Because they do it, you know, up through eighth grade. And, like, there's a lot of lasts. There's a lot of finals.
Yeah.
With Luke being in eighth grade this year. And I'm having a hard time some of these times, like, coming to grips with the reality that we're facing here.
It's definitely a theme in your life right now.
The inevitable marching forward of time is definitely something I've been wrestling with.
Yeah.
So, anyway, not to be like a downer or anything, but boy, we were sitting there watching him like run around with his friends and they're all dressed up in their Halloween costumes and I'm like, this is the last one. And then they're just going to be in high school.
Yeah. They're both going to be in high school. Audrey is learning how to drive. She had her first professional driving training.
I'm not ready for all of it.
Yeah.
If we can come up with a, like, time-freezing thing that would just stop all this forward motion, I would be up for it. Help me out, folks. But we do need to move forward, actually, in this podcast. We do need
to move forward.
One final thing in the news that I almost forgot about. Thank you for reminding me, Janelle.
Of course.
This is going to go up here either in the last day or maybe the October, or maybe the first day of November. I'll see if I can get it out in time, so you'll know when you're hearing it. But November, as we've mentioned, is the 30-day challenge month, and this year we're doing the 30-day writing challenge. I am going to write 3 pages a day every day for the 30 days of November. I'll be updating you on my progress on Facebook, Instagram. That's usually where I do the majority of my updates, and of course, talking about it on upcoming shows throughout the month. Janelle, you're going to participate. Have you decided what your level of commitment is yet?
Well, I was thinking if I could do something creative every day.
Something creative. This is a writing challenge. This is not something creative everyday challenge. You're going to count like doing, you're going to do like a craft?
Like a reel.
Well, this is not the 30-day reel challenge or YouTube challenge. Those things are great too, but you need to do, if you want to be part of this and talk about it in the segment, you got to do writing.
Well, I'm just very busy in November. You never make me actually do it.
Well, but you could do like a small amount.
I'll do some, but
how much?
Every day.
How much?
What do you mean, how much?
I mean, like, you could do half a page.
A day?
A day.
That's a lot.
How about a paragraph a day?
Sure.
Yes, I got it. You guys heard it here. Janelle will be writing a paragraph a day. That's 30 paragraphs by the end of the month. That's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing a lot of writing leading up to this, so this is actually like really good.
This is good for you.
Like I've been getting stoked for it, so I'm already doing. I've been doing more than that each day the last like week or two, so it's gonna be good. We got a lot of good stuff happening.
All right.
So let us know, mandarinorangeshow@gmail.com. What are you gonna write for the 30-day writing challenge?
I can't wait to write my nonfiction.
You can talk about that now because that's not what segment we're in. As long as you don't try to talk about that during the thing. What nonfiction are you going to write? Like autobiography?
Yeah. About the places we visited.
All right. Whatever you write, it counts.
Blog
counts. That's writing.
I could do that every day.
All right. Well, we're excited for that. Keep us posted what you guys are working on. Here we go. We've got a segment we're going to do. It's an ongoing segment we've been doing ever since summer. It's going to take us a while to get through it, but we're doing My Vacation Pants.
Put on your vacation pants.
So we've been going through each of the 12 states that we visited on our summer vacation, one state at a time on each episode to spread it out, because that's what we said we're going to do. I don't know if we needed to do this, but because we're doing it, we are sticking with the pattern. Because
we can't change it now.
It might be until next summer before we're done with it, but let's do it. On our summer vacation, last week we talked about Oklahoma. This time we visited Missouri.
We did visit Missouri. If you were wondering, it was just as hot as it was last summer.
Not just last summer. Every time I've been in Missouri, it's the hottest place I've ever been.
It's the hottest, most humid, most...
Now, to be fair, I've only ever gone in the summer. But, like, it's always the hottest part of any trip. Even though we're driving around all over the Midwest and the South and the North.
All over. We hit so many states.
It's always the hottest one.
So we were going to go to an amusement park. We were going to go back to...
Worlds of Fun.
Worlds of Fun. But it was just too hot to pay all that money.
And then just be miserable. Yeah. We decided to just do a day in air conditioning.
We did a lazy Airbnb, and we like to do that on our trips. Yeah. Just have some veg days. But, you know, veg days aren't without excitement.
So we were there for 2 full days.
Yes.
What did we do? On the first day, we got some, well, first of all, some of the food. Tell us the food highlights.
Okay, so the food highlights are, we went to this place called In a Tub.
In a Tub.
That's the name of the restaurant. It's like a local chain.
You don't eat in a bathtub, though, which the name might lead you to believe.
But they're famous for their pocket burgers.
Is that? I thought the tacos were in a tub.
Tacos are in a tub.
And they have pocket
burgers. Pocket burgers. But the tacos have, like, just cheese powder on them.
Yeah.
And the pocket burgers, we got, like, a bunch of different versions. There was, like... A grilled onion and like a chili one and like a butter one. So many different kinds.
They were so good.
Tried all the different kinds. So I don't know if that's like a Missouri staple is pocket burgers and tub tacos.
I don't know, but it was real good. Like, if you've had those, let us know.
And we had like a hot dog taquito.
Yeah.
Too. It was called something. I was like, well, I got to try that. I don't know what it is. And it was a hot dog taquito.
It was very interesting. We love getting like local fast food. So if that's something that you've gotten elsewhere, or if you live in Missouri, let us know. I'm curious if this is something that other people are into.
Yeah. I forgot to mention, too, while we're there, because I didn't take pictures of it. But I also went and got Hawaiian Bros, Barbecue. And they had Dole Whip.
Yeah, it was great.
Dole Whip. Just there, not Disneyland, Dole Whip.
And a good Hawaiian barbecue.
And it was good Hawaiian barbecue, had good mac salad, so enjoyed that. But the real winner
for food of
the Missouri food was, it's the best barbecue we've ever had, which isn't shocking since we were in Kansas City. But it was called Taste of KC Barbecue.
It was amazing. How did you find it?
We went to the movies. We talked about Thelma already.
Yeah, we saw Thelma because that was an air-conditioned thing.
And so I looked on the way, because it was like a 20-minute drive, I looked, what is the best barbecue on our way? This was the highest rated around. It was so high. But it wasn't like a fancy sit-down, because there were some high-rated ones that were fancy sit-downs.
But I kind of feel like that's not the best barbecue.
I think that is the best barbecue.
This is the best barbecue.
Yeah, it was just like a little tiny place. It was pouring rain.
Yep.
Had like a few tables. We met the owner and
we almost relate to the movie because we talked to the owner for so long.
He was so nice.
Everyone is so nice. And the food
is so good.
Oh my gosh. Like I want to go back there. Like I will just so we'll go back to there good. When we go through Missouri again.
Yeah. I can't even tell you. And they had they made their own strawberry lemonade mix.
Yeah, like blueberry lemonade. Slushy things that they did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
The barbecue was so tender, and they had all these different dipping sauces.
And burnt ends. That's like the specialty thing, and we got the burnt ends, and there's a reason. It was
best
phenomenal.
Best beans.
Oh, my gosh. All of it.
It was so good.
Making me hungry, and we already ate dinner.
Yeah.
Taste of KC Barbecue. If you're in Kansas City, highly recommended.
So good. So we went to see a few things that we could do quickly.
Yeah, so that was the first full day. Yeah. Second day.
Second full sightseeing. Day. Apparently, right by where we were at, the TWA rocket that used to be in Tomorrowland.
Yeah, the Moonliner outside
the Moonliner.
Of Mission to Mars and Rocket to the Moon.
Has been moved on top of a building.
Well, it's interesting. I watched like a YouTube video of the history of it, and it's been long enough that I'm forgetting all the details, but there were a couple of them and different like models, and it was like replaced a couple of times. So it was one of them, but I don't remember exactly which one this was, because there's a few of them around from different like periods of time. You know, it was like replaced when it went from mission or Rocket to the Moon, and then Rocket Mission to Mars.
Yeah.
So there, I can't remember which one it is. It's one of the ones from there. Just to make sure we've got the information. You can watch on YouTube and help remember if you want the details.
So we saw that, and then we saw this statue called the Man with a Shoe in His Mouth.
Shockingly, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a statue of a guy with a shoe in his mouth.
I'll post pictures in the group because you got to see it to believe it.
It's great. And finally, because we just were looking for what's some interesting things that we can drive around to, but don't have to get out of the car for too long because it was hot.
Yeah.
There's a whole street that it's a big library, city block, you know, big old library. And the whole street is painted, decorated like it's a giant bookshelf. So all the sides of the buildings are big books.
Library books.
But it's, you know, real books. So it'll be Huckleberry Finn or, you know, Fahrenheit 451 or whatever. And it was cool. And
it was
cool. Drove by that and snapped some shots and went back to the air conditioning.
Oh, and it was a cool Airbnb.
It was a cool Airbnb, although it had one major issue.
Yeah, let's say it together.
Silk sheets. Single most uncomfortable sleeping experience I may have ever had.
You know, like, silk sheets are always, like, supposed to be, like, the lap of luxury and, like, ooh, la la, you have silk sheets. No.
Miserable. And let me tell you why.
Just slide around.
I like to, like, pile my pillows around me, right? Yes. Like, I got, get all set up just right. I've got my breathing mask, so I like to get just in the right position so I'm comfy. And every day I would, like, in the middle of the night, I'd wake up, all the pillows are on the floor, because you just slide off. There's no friction.
None.
The blankets are on the floor, the pillows are on the floor, everything is just a disaster. Or
they slip between the headboard and the mattress.
Just miserable.
We did discover, though, Horrible Histories, the TV show there.
That's true. Plus, on the Roku thing, they had the Mystery Science Theater 3000 channel.
So we watched a lot of that.
We went back and forth a lot between the two of those. The kids...
And it had a full kitchen, so I made... Even though we got a lot of good food out, I did make some good food too.
It was a good experience, but I did severely dislike having silk sheets. Would not recommend. 0 out of 10.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
And that was Missouri. I didn't mention this. I don't know if I did this before, but just in case, if you're tracking our route, we went from Oklahoma up to Missouri, up into Kansas City. But on that drive, we actually did enter back into Kansas briefly for a while, you know, because the road kind of cuts across back and forth. So most of that drive, we were on the Kansas side and then cut over into Missouri.
Yeah.
We did cover Kansas a couple weeks ago, but I just wanted to... In case someone's like, how did you get up there and not go through Kansas?
Well, we did.
You could, but we went the most direct route, so.
All right.
That was Missouri.
What's next?
Okay, next we've got a quick movie time.
Movie time.
There hasn't been a lot of movie theater movies we've gone and seen.
Right, but we did see one.
This time, but we did see one really good one, and that was called Saturday Night.
This is the one that is directed by Jason Reitman, and it's about, like, the first ever episode of Saturday Night Live, and it's, like, done in real time of the hour and a half leading up to the start of the first episode. It was really well done. I mean, it's... probably something that you'll enjoy the most if you're familiar with Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is exciting to you. Not that it's not interesting outside of that, but, you know, it really helps being familiar at least a little bit with it to kind of understand a lot of what's going on. But, man, it was fun.
It was fun.
Super good. I mean, definitely, you know, for adult audiences, language-wise and such, but it was great. Really, really enjoyed it. And just very well done. And we watched it on the Saturday that was leading up to the premiere of the first episode of Saturday Night Live, the 50th season. So we watched in the theater, then we came home and we watched the first episode of Saturday Night Live because we, like, really wanted to see it after having seen the movie.
Right.
Then we watched the premiere of the 50th. So we watched the first episode and then the first, and it was a fun experience.
It was great.
It's a great way to do it. And this season of SNL has been, like, pretty good.
It's been great.
Nate Bargatze was back on again.
Oh, so good.
Good stuff. Okay, and one other movie thing I wanted to mention. Like, a lot of people, I've had multiple friends, my friend Derek and my friend Jeff and a few others that mentioned that James Bond movies were added to, I don't know, I can't remember if it was on Prime or Netflix or whatever, but they said, oh, I think I'm going to watch through the James Bond movies, and they messaged me because they know that
you
I love
are
James
the number
Bond.
One James Bond fan.
I did, as I mentioned other times, win $35 in a James Bond trivia contest on a cruise we went on. So, you know, I know a little Bond.
Well, let's be real. It was $35 credit to gamble in the casino, but you didn't.
Well, yeah. I mean, you had to go get it in chips, and then I was like, okay, thank you. I'd like my money now, please. But still, I really do enjoy James Bond movies. So, I have all the DVDs. I have all the movies, literally all of them on DVD. So, I have not been watching them on streaming because I like the, you know, tactile stuff. And actually, the special features on the James Bond movies are real good. I decided I was going to, like, watch through them in order. Well, and then, alongside this, I started seeing, like, pop up on YouTube videos ranking, you know, people that would make their ranking of James Bond movies. And I watched one, and his ranking was so far off from mine. Like, I really liked different ones than he did. And then, like, it suggested more, and I wound up, I mean, not sitting staring, but, you know, like, while I'm doing chores or whatever, I, like, listen to him. I probably watched through 10 or 12 different rankings of people doing it. And a lot of times, like, I would just kind of skip to see what the next one was. Or if they have, like, the little thing at the bottom that shows the chapters, I could just read what they were, you know. But anyway, you know, went through it in one way or another, about 10 or 12. And none of them did I agree with. And most of them just kind of repeated the same, like, things about ones that I really like that people don't like. That you could just tell they all watch the same reviews and they all, you know, they'll say, oh, everyone agrees this one is bad, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I feel like people...
No, we don't all agree.
These people are not making their own opinions. They're just saying this stuff based on what is the thing to say.
To get views.
And so I was like, I want to make my own ranking because it's so far different from them. And I don't let reviews influence what I think of stuff.
You absolutely like, at all. Not.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying I've never watched a review of something, but I still hold firm to my opinion. So I decided I'm going to watch them all in order. And I put together like a questionnaire thing for myself where I, you know, write down some of the key points from it so I could know what to talk about, put my ranking as far as, you know, how much I liked it, but also just sort of like a scale of like how silly, you know, campy versus serious it is and a few other things like that, which elements of typical Bond tropes are in each one and that kind of thing. The other thing I noticed on the list is that most of them only include the official Eon, you know, Broccoli-produced James Bond movies. Some of them include Never Say Never Again, which is the Sean Connery one. But some of them include the Casino Royale spoof one, but not very many. But none of them that I have seen, and I've watched a lot of them, have the original Casino Royale, the Jimmy Bond American production of Climax that came before any of the like theatrical movies. So I also included that in mine because that's an important part of James Bond film history. So as I was like putting all this stuff together, Luke was like asking about James Bond because he'd never watched a James Bond before. And I remember like, I love James Bond. Like I discovered it in junior high, you know, and like, you know, by the time GoldenEye came out when I was in high school, I'd seen them all and I was like stoked that there's a new James Bond movie out. Right. So I thought that'd be fun. Like Luke's like old enough to watch them now, you know, I mean, they're all rated PG or modern ones are PG-13, but you know, they definitely pushed the limits of what PG was. They definitely were more in the PG-13, so he's fine now. He can watch it. And so we've watched now together. He started with... First, he said, well, I'll just watch, like, the first one with you. And we watched the TV one. And he was like, it was fascinating. And he's like, you know, appreciated the history. Because it was a live television production. Yeah. So you could see, like, mistakes were made. And, you know, it was all very... Like, in just a couple of, you know, TV set locations. But for what it is, it's pretty interesting. Peter Lorre is the villain, the chief. Mm-hmm. And... It's good. It's fun. It's definitely not like top tier, but it was well done for what it was. And then he's like, well, I got to like watch a real one to see, you know, what it's really like. And I was like, well, do you want me to skip forward and go to like some of my favorites? And he's like, well, I'll just watch the first one to see the progression. So we watched Dr. No, which is the first Sean Connery one. And I like that one too. That one, like on a scale of 1 to 10, I rank that as like a 6 for me. It's definitely in the positives. It's not like my top tier, but it was a great start to it. And it's fun to see. And we watched that and he's like, but I feel like there's not like too many gadgets and things. Maybe we should just watch one more. And this is not all in the same day. This is of course over a period of time. So then we watched From Russia with Love. And that one, I mean, that's the second one, obviously with Sean Connery. And it's a little bit more. That one I put like at a 6.5 on my scale. Great, great movie. And Luke's into it. And yeah, I was like, you know, one of my all-time favorites. On my ranking, my number two movie is Goldfinger. So we're going to watch that one next. We haven't gotten there yet. Oh, but this is one other thing, too. I made an initial ranking from, like, my nostalgia and my memory, right, of my top-to-bottom lists. And then I'm going to re-watch them all, and that's why part of why I'm re-watching it, to, you know, see if there's any adjustments or any things that I, you know, maybe I forgot how good it was, or maybe something was colored a little with nostalgia and it's not as good as I remembered or something.
We'll see.
I wrote it all down, and then I'll see if anything changes. I doubt much will change, but it could tweak a little bit here and there. You know? Because some of them, I haven't watched in quite a few years. Some of them I know for sure I haven't watched in probably like 10 or 12 years. Some of them I've seen more recently, obviously. So anyway, that's the excitement of James Bond. I wanted to get people in on that because I'll be talking about James Bond in the upcoming months.
All right.
Okay, we're going to do one final segment for tonight. We haven't played a game in quite a while, and we've got a special guest to do a game with us here. So it's quiz time.
Quiz time.
All right, well, like I said, we have a very special guest with us for quiz time. Please welcome Luke.
Hi.
So, Luke, you're here with Mommy and Daddy. Audrey's been doing a lot of play practice and other stuff, so you've got a lot of...
Only child
Mommy Daddy time here?
Yes.
What's it been like to be an only child?
I don't know if it's quite an accurate depiction of being an only child. Wow. Do only children go deliver Taco Bell to other lonely children?
Yes, they do. Mm. Well, we've brought you here to do quiz time. I was going to, like, pick something out in particular for you, but I opened the book to, like, a perfect thing for you.
Okay, what is it?
And we're only going to do one of these tonight, but we are going to have you do a quiz on Lord of the Rings.
Ooh.
Now, they actually have... It's how much you know about the Fellowship of the Ring, Part 1, 2, and 3, Two Towers, Part 1, 2, and 3... Return of the King, Part 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Which one are we doing?
So I'm just going to start at the beginning here.
Okay.
And I'm going to write your name on here. And for those of you guys that don't know, maybe it's your first time listening, this is how quiz time works. I've got this book called The Great Book of World Facts, Lists, and Quizzes. And
copyright.
I'll tell you the date here. I mean, Lord of the Rings doesn't really change. But maybe, like, movies-wise, it could have. This is published in 2002. So, just so you have, like, an idea of the year, there are 15 questions. I'm going to ask Luke the question, and he will answer. I'll tell you the answer right away, and we'll give you a score at the end out of 15 to see how you did. Now, you, dear listeners at home, you can play along, write down your answers, or just guess them in your head, but keep track of your score, and let us know at mandarinorangeshow@gmail.com how you compared. Do you know Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring? This is part one. I'm sure we'll do other parts another time. All right, I'm writing in the book here, marking it down. Luke, your name is at the top.
Okay.
Question one. When the book opens, it is with news that someone in the Shire is planning a birthday party. Who?
Bilbo Baggins.
Yes, that is correct.
Ding, ding, ding.
I knew it.
One question. So obviously this is based on the book, not the movies.
Okay, interesting.
Which birthday is he celebrating?
I know. 108th birthday?
Oh, you're so close.
Can I say?
You may have a secondary guess, but it won't go to Luke.
125?
No. Remember, it's a funny name he uses.
Can't picture
it. It's his 111st. 111. He called it 111st. Okay. Sorry, I can't get it. You were very close. I know you're right on target there, but a little bit off.
Within 3 years.
Stay on target.
All right. What is the name of Bilbo's home?
Bag End.
Yes.
This is, like, easier than the other quiz I did one time.
Yeah. Well, I just opened it to this. It's perfect. He shares his home. I'm just reading right how it says it in here, so I'm assuming Bilbo still. He shares his home with his nephew and heir, whose name is...
Frodo
Baggins. Frodo Baggins, yes. But it just says Frodo. Bilbo leaves the Shire for one last journey. What does he leave behind for his nephew?
The ring.
I'm sorry, it says a gold ring. No, give me that. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. The one ring to rule them all. Number six. Many years later, Frodo learns from Gandalf the Wizard that the ring is a thing of great power belonging to...
Sauron.
Yes, according to this, it's Sauron the Great, the Dark Lord, but we will accept Sauron.
Slytherin.
What? Why Slytherin?
You stop. You're going to get kicked out. What? I don't know. Number seven. To avoid bringing danger to the Shire, Frodo sets out to seek the counsel of whom?
Is it Elrond?
Elrond! Yes, okay. Full name is Elrond, half-elven, but we will definitely accept Elrond.
I almost said Elfrond, because
that's my D&D name. Hubbard. Elfrond Hubbard, that's my Dungeons & Dragons.
So I couldn't remember what it actually was.
It's actually Elrond. Number eight, who does he take with him as his companion?
Samwise Genji.
And according to this, the way they answer it here, what is his relationship to him? Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. cousins?
No, it's actually his gardener.
Oh, that's right.
That wasn't part of the question, so you don't have to answer that. But and it also just says Sam Ganji in here. It does not Gamji. Ganji is a... No, it's Genji. That's the grandma in Arrested Development. I was getting mixed up.
Does it not say Marion Pippin?
Well, that's who his companion he chooses first. Okay. Four other young hobbits help him, although only two decide to go on the whole journey. Their names are...
Merry and Pippin.
The full name, Merry Brandybuck and Pippin Took.
But it just said Frodo for Frodo.
Yes, so I'm giving it to you. Don't worry.
Quiz.
Yeah.
Number 10. Walking through the Shire, they realize that they are being pursued by what?
Ooh, the Ringwraiths.
I will accept that. It says here the Black Riders, but they go by different names. So, yes, that's correct. And Ringwraiths.
This is fun. I like this one where I can actually answer them correctly.
Number 11. Leaving the Shire behind, they ride through the old forest, where they are nearly trapped by Old Man Willow, a very evil-hearted tree. Who comes to their rescue?
Tom Bombadil.
This is how you know that Luke's knowledge of Lord of the Rings goes beyond the movies, because there's no Tom Bombadil in the movies.
Yeah, and I remember there's an MST3K where they're like, turn left to see Tom Bombadil in the Christmas dragon.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't actually... You've read The Hobbit, and you've seen the movies, but you've never actually read Lord of the Rings.
No, but when you were doing your extensive read-through of all of the stuff by Tolkien...
I didn't talk about it quite a bit.
I heard about... And when we were watching the movies, you like said the differences and stuff.
So yes.
I know a lot from the book also.
All right. What is the name of Tom Bombadil's lady?
Sheila Bombadil.
Good guess, but her name is Goldberry.
Nah.
I gotta be honest. I don't know if I could have pulled that out of the top of my head right now either. Because I didn't remember like what her name was. Because it's not said a whole lot.
Yeah.
Number 13, Tom comes, well, I'm going to read it like it says here with the typo.
Okay.
Tom comes their aid yet again to save them from whom? I think it means comes to their aid, but.
Save them from whom?
Whom or what, I would even say, because it's not a person. I'm giving you information, but I don't think you know this one. Again, this is not in the movies.
Schmebulock.
It's a good guess. It's the Barrow Whites.
Oh, I remember that, though.
They do. Well, I think in the movies, like, someone else, they go... Because they have to get the swords from the Barrows, and I think maybe they do it, but...
Well, I might Gandalf just remember
rescues
you.
Them, I think, in the movie. I can't remember how they did it.
No. But I remember that.
Oh, wait, so I have to... You didn't get that one. I gotta give you an X there.
Don't give me points.
No extra points there. Number 14, they arrive safely at the village of Bree. What is the name of the inn at which they take a room?
Ooh, is it the Prancing Pony?
It's the Prancing Pony!
Yeah. Oh, ding, ding, ding!
You've also played a Lego Hobbit video game. Did you do Lord of the Rings one?
I don't think I've played Lego Lord of the Rings.
Well, we have it.
Ooh, something for you to play.
And finally, number 15. What is the name of the innkeeper? Of the Prancing Pony.
The innkeeper. Will I know this?
I doubt it. It's possible, but I doubt it.
Let's go with something Lightfoot.
Barlam and Butterbur.
Again, so Butterbeer. So
that's
there is
one.
A Harry Potter reference.
Stop it. Stop it.
Butterbeer.
That is one I probably wouldn't have gotten off the top of my head either. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You only missed 4. That's 11 out of 15. That's pretty good, Luke. Oh,
thank you.
That's part one.
You did way better on that than I would have done.
I like that it goes like in chronological order through the book. So
yeah.
We got to do the other ones here. Just peeking ahead. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Let's see, though. If I got... Wait, 11 out of 15?
Yes.
What grade would that be?
Ooh.
Let's see. 15 goes into 100. Six times without going over. So, I mean, it's close to like 76, which is Was that like
a C?
It's a C. That's I got a C.
Yes, on a quiz book from 2002.
See, now I'll use a calculator and tell you your exact score.
Here. Okay.
73.3.
I can't believe how quickly you looked that up.
I know. It's just right off the top of my head.
Yeah, C-. I mean, you just knew that.
C minus.
Man. I don't know if I can take this.
Maybe that's like a C. 73, 74. That's a C.
Well,
that's
I definitely got an F on the other quizzes yeah. I took.
Well, Luke, you did an excellent job. Thank you for joining us for quiz time.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, listeners, for playing along. Again, please let us know how you did. Did you beat Luke? How well do you know Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring?
Write to us.
The first few chapters of the book.
Let us know.
Yeah, write to us. And also, thank you for joining us on this episode, because we are going to bring it to a close here. Chanel?
Yeah, we are.
Thank you for being a co-host.
Thank you for being a co-host with me.
Luke, thank you for being a guest.
Thank you for being a guest host with me.
Listeners, thank you for being listeners.
Thank you for being listeners with me.
And we are going to be back again next week. We're trucking along here, heading into November. Don't forget to write for the 30-day writing challenge. And don't forget to follow us on Patreon. You can do your free following, and you can hear the episodes first and other interesting updates.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's going to do it. So for the Mandarin Orange Show, I'm Phil.
And I'm Janelle.
And we talk so you don't have to. Blowing it.